Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah, we welcome you to this program. It is with our Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman, inshallah. The date today is the 25th of Dhul Hijjah 1445. Let's welcome Mufti Sahab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam. How's everything, Hazrat?
Alhamdulillah. How's Mufti Saab doing?
Alhamdulillah. It's a little bit cooler here in Karachi than it's been in the last month or so. But alhamdulillah. We thank Allah.
What's the date where Mufti Saab is in Karachi?
What's the date?
In Pakistan, or I don't know if they have different... Is it the same as South Africa, the 25th?
It's, what is this? The 25th.
Chi.
25th is Al-Hijjah.
Okay, so we're the same. South Africa and Pakistan are the same. Saudis...
Yeah, I think most of the world is the same.
No.
Except for Saudi.
Because most of the people now, they just follow Saudi blindly. So, I know France also is together with Saudi. And there's just a few countries who is still on the 25th. I'm not sure about New Zealand also. Yeah, so Mufti...
Yeah, it's pretty much the same. I think most of the time we are with you. Pakistan and South Africa, for the most part,
okay,
pretty much together.
So who's, in terms of the moon sighting and that, like here we have Wifaqul Ulama and other organizations, who's on top of it? So there in Pakistan, who's in charge mainly?
Well, in Pakistan, it's the government, okay? The government has an official moon sighting committee, which, you could say the headquarters, I guess, is here in Karachi. And they have people all over the country in designated sites looking. And the entire country is allowed to go look for it. And if they do see it, they know who to call. There's a number to call to say, you know, I've seen the moon. And the person receiving it is a part of it, you know, the official committee. And then they forward that information to the headquarters, and the announcement is made.
Okay. So there's no like here in South Africa. Sometimes you'll still get a bit of one organization will say this, another will say that. So in Pakistan, is it all settled? Like once the decision is made?
No. It's just like the non-Muslim countries. you have some people in KPK that, certain areas of the country that don't like to follow the government, okay, and they'll always come up with a sighting that no one else has seen. Oftentimes we have three different days of meet. Most of the time it's 2 days, and it's rare that they only have 1 day.
Yeah,
it's the same confusion. There's no unity here.
Yes.
It's just the entire Ummah is the same. There's very little unity.
People often think that you must have unity in this year, but there's no such a thing as unity with the moon sighting. And there were talks I read about Mufti Sayyid Palampuri, Rahmatullah Alayh, in one of his books. It's written his whole... Malfuz is there, where it's mentioned about there's in these aspects. He attended a conference in Saudi Arabia, and they said they were all at the end of it. Everyone agreed that there's no need to have unity in this. So I'm not sure if the whole objective was to establish unity on this, but the conclusion was there's no unity on this. So because it's impossible, how we can't just that means. Our unity will be based on Batil, because Pakistan side to the moon, all the way there. So I'll follow Pakistan because I've got my friend there, Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman, and I follow him. He's my sheikh. So now. So.
Well, yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. There are a lot of Pathans here, okay, who, you know, they still have very strong roots with Afghanistan, okay, and they don't like what happened during 9/11 when America invaded Afghanistan and Pakistan, the government of Pakistan, anyway. They have a lot of help, you know, intel. Okay, military type of information. So whenever Pakistan announces a moon, then these people will not go with that. They'll go with Saudi. Mm-hmm. If Saudis were different and Pakistan is different, then they'll take Saudis instead of Pakistan. And so, yeah. What to do, my brother? What to do? This is... As the Jamaat, you know, always reminds me that it's their belief that 90% of the ummah is not reading the mosque.
Mm.
And so when you're not reading the mosque, then you're out of the fold of Islam. And the only way you can hold on to the rope of Allah is starting with namaz. Okay? If we can't get together with prayer, how are we going to get together on sighting the moon? It's impossible.
Mufti Saab, I've seen a few. I'm just going through your messages that you've been sending me recently. I'm actually looking for that one. You sent a nice one recently about Khilafat. I don't know if it was you sent it on which group or was it personally to me, but it was a nice message on Khilafat, when Khilafat is established and then the man of the house and all of this, then you'll see. It was basically the virtue of having proper established Khilafat.
Oh, then, okay. That was a graph, right? That was like a graph, a map.
Yes.
It wasn't an essay.
No, it was just a graph, like something. It was a depiction.
Yeah, it had an umbrella.
Now, yesterday someone sent me something also about... they asked Mufti Taqi Uthmani this question. So we have our differences with Mufti Taqi on few issues. But this year, I'd just like to know what's Mufti Saab's advice on this. And I know you've studied under Mufti Taqi. Is that correct?
Yes. Well, no, he's not my direct teacher. Many of my stars when I was in Darwin were the students of Mufti Taqi. But I was never in the classroom with him.
Okay.
Mufti Rafi, yes, rahmatullahi, but not Mufti Taqi. But again, there's like one person between me and Mufti Taqi. So many of my teachers were the direct students of Mufti Taqi.
Okay. So yesterday I was listening to his answer on the Khilafat issue. So he said, as they asked him, is it time now for Khilafat that we must join together? Say, for example, Pakistan. I'm not sure Pakistan, but other countries. And his answer, I think, was in this particular aspect, in this particular question, was suitable in the sense where he said, if we all unite today, so if I take Pakistan, I take Tajikistan, which we know they're banning the hijab, I take other countries. Of course, South Africa is not not an Islamic country, but so-called Islamic countries. He didn't say this, but he said, if we do so, then it's going to cause a war. Because the part which he didn't say is that they are not practicing Muslims. So if they are not practicing Muslims, and we say we want to establish Khilafat, who's going to be the Khalifa? If we choose a Khalifa, that means that one country will say that, okay, Tajikistan, for example, they have decided the hijab, which hijab is just a scarf. These are words they use and they've manipulated it to confuse the masses. Actually, hijab for women is to be in their homes, in the confines of their homes.
Right, separation.
Exactly. So they
Yeah,
say,
keep it
anyway,
small.
they say that hijab is a culture. It's a cult. It's there's nothing to it where it's Islamically. So the Mufti now is going to they're going to give a fatwa. Officially, Dagestan has also followed suit in this, and they're going to imagine the Mufti is going to release a fatwa to say no more hijab, even if it means just scarf. You're not allowed to. So if scarf is not permissible, then of course to for the veil is not permissible. Then there's really only one thing left for the woman, which is exactly what the Quran Sharif is saying: stay in your homes. So,
Okay.
bringing this, tying this all together, if we're going to establish this Khilafat, then it's going to cause a lot of war. This was what Mufti Taqi was saying, and he's going to, because there's no unity based on what is the Sharia. He's decided that the Sharia is something else. He's decided that the Sharia is something else. Maybe my words is not exactly, but I'm just paraphrasing here. So everyone's got their own definition, but the reality is, and this is exactly what he said, we must come back onto the Sharia within our own countries, and then maybe in the future we can decide. And I think I shared this with Mufti, with yourself, that once we ask Mulana ASTSI, the Majlis, when should we get ready for jihad? Like, when is the time for jihad? And I recall the way he gave that answer so actively. He said, we will tell you people when it's the time for jihad. And at the moment, we're still suffering with our, he said, our Maulvis, look at them. They are giving fatwa against what the Sharia is saying. So first we have to fix up all these issues. Then maybe perhaps we can move in this direction. Moves this up your view on this whole thing, to tie this whole thing together.
I see where he's coming from. I believe the same problem would have happened if Zia-ul-Huq, rahmatullahi alayh, would have been able to implement Sharia in Pakistan. Right? He met with Dr. Abdul Hai, rahmatullahi alayh, and Dr. Abdul Hai said, you're in the position now, you're the president of the country, and you're the general, you're a leader of the army. So you have to bring Sharia here, okay? If not, you'll be questioned on Qiyamah. So he promised that in 90 days he would do that. But before the 90 days were over, he was shaheed, okay, in the airplane crash. All right. And so the belief, I have the same belief with Taqiyat, that if, for example, General Zia-ul-Huq had been successful and declaring that this is an Islamic state is being run by the Sharia, okay, he would have had to kill at least 100,000 people because nobody wants it here. Okay, that's the bottom line. Okay, we go along like sheep, but no one really wants Sharia. I had a school where we had lady teachers, and we asked the lady teachers to at least come to the school in burqa. All right. Once you get inside and you get to the classrooms, the ladies' classrooms will be separate. All right. So then you could take it off, and teach like that. We had one science teacher who had to resign because her father would not allow her to wear burqa. When we asked why, he said, I'm not going to let my daughter wear the burqa because I don't allow my wife to wear the burqa. Okay? And that's here in Pakistan. All right? So I can understand what Mufti Taqi is talking about. It makes a lot of sense. But I would feel, though, that if the Khalifa, the Caliphate was established, then since we're all forced to follow that Khalifa, then a lot of the other stuff, while it's different in Pakistan and it's different in Tajikistan and it's different in India and it's different, I think a lot of that would fall by the wayside. Now, Maulana Desai, he had said that it's very easy to establish the Caliphate right now. Okay? Caliphate is with the Quraysh. Okay? We have one, for example, all right, let's say Imam Sadeh in Saudi is Sayyid. Okay?
Mm.
So we all, every Islamic leader from the OIC, okay, every president, prime minister, whatever, king, or whatever it is, they pledge bayah to Sadeh. Okay? Everybody is under him now. Mm. All right? Now, and he's a scholar, okay? And he would, you know, make the law. And we would have to follow it. Because if the president of Pakistan and the president of India and the president of this place and that place, they've all pledged bayah, then automatically everybody under these people, all right, fall under the caliphate. So it is possible, okay, in theory, but it would never happen.
Hmm. Okay, yeah, alhamdulillah. So that opens up a few other questions too. So that, because if we do establish it, and the question now is, people don't want you to tell them anything. Don't tell me about what's, they have their own mind already. And if this is, if this stems from the top, then how would they agree with it in the first place? As you've said, like Pakistan, if we have to, you know, if this is established, would the top agree with the Khalifa? That's the question.
Well, as Maulana Desai had described it, it would happen automatically. It would have to happen. For example, Shahbaz Sharif is the prime minister there. And he went to Saudi, all right, and he pledged bayah, okay, to Sadeh, for example, all right, just like all the other leaders of the OIC, if they do that, then everybody, the 220 million Pakistanis, all have to follow in line.
Mm.
Okay? Mm. Just like with Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, when he became the Khalifa, not everybody shook his hand, not 1,24,000 Sahaba, the women didn't shake his hand, all right? But automatically they came under his caliphate, all right? So that's how it is in theory, all right? But like Hazard said, okay, that he doesn't believe there will be no caliphate until Imam Mehdi comes, okay? Just before he comes, then we'll have a Khalifa, and he will be it. Okay, that's probably what will happen. Mm. How much problem did Salah Uddin, he has with the Muslim army when he was fighting against the Crusaders? Mm. He had more problems with the Muslims, and that was back then, than he did with the Christian, fighting against the Christian. All right? And we are so far removed from that time that what can we say?
Mm. And that's the main challenge at the moment, is because it's trying to sift out. And I think, and you've seen the US, how they operate. You've been there, you've worked with them. You're much like our, you know, what's his name? Of the, they say he's the master plan of this whole Yahya Sinwar, you know, because he's been in the prisons, he saw how the Jews operate, all of this. So you spent, Mufti Saab, you spent time in the U.S. You know how they operate, how they function. This year, I think they've realized that, and we don't need no Mossad or any of that sort. Allah Azza wa Jal tells us himself, يُرِيدُونَ أَيُّتْفِئُ نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ, that they intend to extinguish the light of Allah Azza wa Jal with their mouths. And we say, mouthpieces, all the propaganda that they are using. Of course, Allah rejects this. وَيَعْبَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا أَيُّتِمَّ نُورَهُ وَلَوْ كَرِيَ الْكَافِرُونَ. Allah will complete his nur, even though the kuffar, they grow in hatred for it. So they know very well that they cannot bring down Islam. So the only other way, option that is left, is to get people to masquerade as Muslims, and people, Muslims, will see, hey, this seems tempting. This is a nice Islam, so-called inverted commas, and grip them in that sense. And this is in South Africa, in different areas. Just yesterday, I was seeing a write-up about the Shiism that is taking place within South Africa, and we are so oblivious that these people are operating and they are making people swear the Sahaba radiallahu anhum under our noses, but yet we do not know of them, and those people think that this is Muslims. I'm not sure to what degree is it there in Pakistan, but here you can see it's the sects, the different deviated groups, it's growing in numbers.
Due to ignorance. A lot of it is due to ignorance, because we are ignorant. Where do we learn our Islam from? All right? Very few of us go to the madrasa. Where do we learn our Islam from? From Google, huh? From TikTok. All right? Whatever is put on there, that's what we're following. But Maulana Tandi, he mentioned that the only thing when there's a battle, okay, when it's facade, the only answer for the Muslim is the sword. All right? And they've effectively taken the sword away from us. Okay? Our own leaders have done that. All right? So, if you cannot use the sword, then the only thing we're left with is what? Dua. Huh? And again, another thing that he has said, and the thing I've been sending out, is that we should be making dua after every namaz, and we should be changing our lifestyle, all right? If we change our lifestyle, we reform our lifestyle, Allah will put the fear of Islam, will put fear in the hearts of the kuffar, okay? And then you will see some change. Now you tell me, in the 8 months, I think it's been 8 months, 6 months or 8 months, that we've been fighting in Gaza, have our actions changed? Have we reformed?
Mm-hmm.
Are there more of us going to the masjid? Are more of us growing our beards? Are more of our women staying in the house? No, that's something. Nothing. There's not going to be any change. We have two options: sword and sabr. Mm-hmm. And sword has been taken away from us. And so now, when you do sabr, you have to do islah enough, right? Mm. And how many of us are doing islah enough? Nothing's going to change.
Mm. Mufti Saab, just not so long ago, you shared with us, we were on that group also, where there was this Mulana, and he used to give tafsir, all of that. And I recall Mufti Saab told me that during the COVID period, he was one who stood away from all these COVID calls and the brutal, all these social distancing, all of this. Yeah, we haven't heard from him. We haven't heard his bayans in a while. Is the Mulana still speaking? Where can we get his tafsir from?
Sure, we can. I can start saying it again, inshallah. No problem. He went for Hajj, okay, and so he was away for a while, but he's back now, and he's still doing it, inshallah. I'll start saying it again.
Mulana Bahadur or something of that sort, his name again?
Yeah, Mulana Adil.
Mulana Adil.
Yes.
Bahadur. Yes. I remember there was something Bahadur in there.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay. And did any of the Hujjaj from Pakistan pass away, or any of this nature get sick?
Not that I knew of. I believe some did, but no one that I knew about or I heard about. I just read, like you have read, that many people have died in the Hajj. I didn't hear any more than that.
I've seen that the way they try to get out of it is to say that all those, most of the people that passed away, we say, inshallah, they get the highest stages of Jannah, inshallah. But the way the Saudi regime seeks to get out of it is, they say, no, these people, most of them, they came illegally. So basically, they're trying to push it back onto them, that this is your punishment because you came illegally. See, you suffered in the heat and you died. Because...
And got judgment. And got judgment.
And this is because it goes... Because eyebrows are being raised that you claim that you've given the Ummah such a beautiful Hajj. But then where does this come from? We say at the end it's the decree of Allah and it's a high status to pass away in this. But from their angle, how they try to escape from all of this, this is pretty, I would say, wicked.
Yeah, well, what do we expect from them? Okay? What do we expect from them? They brought wine shops to Mecca and Medina, and they brought musical shows and all these things. It just so happens that their country has Mecca and Medina inside of it. That's the only thing that makes them important. Okay, but the way the country is being run is completely un-Islamic. They're worse than America. You talk about America, they're worse than America. Hmm. But they're pretending to be Muslim.
Hmm.
Joe Biden and Donald Trump, they're not pretending to be Muslim.
Although he does send us Eid messages. Eid Mubarak and I don't know what. All of a sudden, he's so pro-Islamic.
Since the debate last week between Biden and Trump, now there's a lot of push in America for the American Muslims to vote for Trump.
Hmm.
There's a lot of push out. It seemed like they forgot that this guy, Trump, when he was elected that first time, the first thing he did was impose a ban of people coming from Muslim countries to America. They couldn't get visas or anything like that. That's the first thing he did as soon as he got into office. So memories are short. That's it.
Of course, yeah. I just heard a bit of a clip which was sent out and how Mr. Genocide, not that Trump is any better, but how he was failing in the whole debate. And from that little clip that I heard, it's more like you're just competing. All of a sudden, you change your tune now. To impress the crowd, now you are saying how you are going to handle the palace, the Hamas and all of this here, and send more weapons. So it's a total change. We're always seeing, it's just like a chameleon. This way, that way, that way, this way. But anyway, move this up.
No president runs the affairs of America. It's the military industrial complex that does that. Okay, CIA, FBI, and the military, bankers, and things like that. They're actually running the place. When Biden ran 4 years ago, he was showing signs of mental decline then.
Mm.
Okay? And actually, Bernie Sanders, the Jew, the senator from Vermont, had much more energy and more support in his rallies than Biden did. But the people in power didn't want Bernie Sanders in charge. All right? Nor did they want Trump in charge. But rigging the election to allow Biden to get in, then they could achieve everything they needed to achieve. Mm-hmm. Biden can't do anything. He's so mentally gone. And that was 4 years ago. And now you're seeing it 4 years later. there's no way he'll be able to finish another four-year term.
Hmm.
All right? But they'll try to do whatever they can to prop him up and let him get elected, so then they can do whatever they want, all right, about everything. And so
it just beats me.
But the sad thing is that the Muslims are supporting him. Right? Mm. That's the sad thing. Mm. All right, we're not trying to be independent at all. We're trying to fit in. And again, I've said it before. There's an American Islam.
Mm.
All right, we have Islam, and then we have an American Islam. And it's completely different than any other kind of Islam.
Mufti Saab, we've come to the end of this. I guess it just beats me that America is only two people to run the country and two people who are totally incapacitated. But as we know, it is based on our actions. So as Mufti Saab has said, we have to change. We have to improve our salah. That is for us as a Muslim. Mufti Saab, we appreciate your time. Make dua for us. Jazakumullahu khairah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.